Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the show where truth is our bitch and where we have fun. I don't know, it's hard to segue between truth is our bitch and we have fun, but that's what we do. I'm Phil Hendry, with me Margaret Gray, along with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman and other assorted guests as we progress through the evening here and comment on the stuff, what is happening. Now, one of the big things that did occur this afternoon was a tsunami. And I don't mean to make light, folks, because they're very deadly, and we have to see exactly... what do you got there, Bud?
No.
Okay, so we have to see exactly what has happened with the tsunami, what impact it's had as of yet. It was in the Solomon Islands as the result of an 8.0 earthquake, and I feel compelled to keep you sort of up to date on that one. The other big news, Margaret, you have it.
Yes, Kim Kardashian was given a jewel-encrusted pistol. Again, Kim Kardashian was given a jewel-encrusted pistol.
Yeah? So what... Hold on, Robert. So what?
She was given a... What do you mean, so what?
So what, Margaret? You know, so what?
Every time I bring a news story up,
I'm the host of the show here, okay? What, so big deal, she got a diamond-encrusted pistol.
I have a story on that.
What do you got? I'm the one doing the story. She was... Again, let me start... Kim... Hold on, Phil. Kim Kardashian, ladies and gentlemen, got a diamond-encrusted pistol. I'm Margaret Gray. Was that what you're looking for?
No, I didn't need you to lock it out. I want to know, so what? So she got the pistol.
Kim Kardashian is one of the most sought-after... What do you got...
The story is that she got the pistol, and she took a picture of it, and she put it on Twitter, and people tweeted in tweets said that they didn't like it, and then she said, okay, and then she took the picture off, and then I don't know, but that's what I know.
She took a picture of it.
That's what I heard him say, yes.
Yeah.
And she put it on Twitter, and then people said what?
People are tweeting in saying, you a gun lover, you a gun nut, this, that, you know.
Oh, okay, so her fans were upset.
Yeah, and then she went and took it away.
Oh, so I didn't know that part. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't really care about that part. The part that I did, that's the important part.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think, you're not, are you the news person or am I, Phil? You're an entertainer. I'm the news person.
All right, well, let me just give the opinion. That's, you know, it's just an opinion. When she has a diamond-encrusted pistol, okay, great. I guess that's cool. That's fine. But then I also knew before we went on the air that there was more to the story. That's why I was waiting for you to do it.
That's not significant news, I don't think. I think the news is, when's the last time you saw a diamond-encrusted pistol? I'll answer that. Never. Never in your life. She had one, Phil. For a brief few fleeting seconds, in her hands, Kim Kardashian had something that would put a smile on your face, even as the bullet tore into your skull. Well, forget it.
Yeah, right.
Don't you laugh at me.
You know, Margaret, you can't just... if you get tongue-tied and you're trying to find a debating point or an argument that is going to make sense, don't just go, forget it.
No, I've got the argument that will make sense. I know I'm talking to idiots. That's why. That's the frustration.
Thanks a lot. I'm the one that had the news about the tweeting.
You had the news about people being upset with her.
Yeah, and to me, that's the more significant news, because a diamond encrusted that would leave a smile on my face even as the bullet tore into my skull. So I'm going to be happy, huh? Is that it?
You're laughing. I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I don't think there's anything funny about it either, but as long as you're making a ridiculous statement like that, you know, if she is using that for self-defense, I understand. The diamond-encrusted end of it makes me think it's more of a collector's item or a conversation piece that she would never in her wildest dreams actually use. It also makes me believe that perhaps she's not even a gun aficionado. Maybe it's a gag. Maybe it's a joke. Maybe her fans... You know, overstated.
Well, a lot of people that are tweeting are saying, take that, well, I don't know, but...
Yeah, a lot of people are very upset about it.
What are they saying?
I mean, they're saying, you know, you shouldn't, like, have a gun, you know, and just...
Yeah, just take it. Just stick it. Stick it up your big butt, because that's what it is.
Well, I don't know that these are fans of hers.
Well, I know, but if they're anti-gun, they're probably, boy, I'm really disappointed in you and all that stuff. You know what we'll do is we'll go onto Twitter and take a look at some of the comments. Maybe you can pull that up, bud.
Pull what?
Pull up Twitter.
See, this is what I'm talking about from last night.
Take it easy.
You said to pull.
Pull up Twitter. I didn't say to pull it. Pull.
Man, what are you doing, man?
I was pulling my zipper down.
I ought to kick your ass just for that alone. You know that?
Well, you're the guy that said pull it.
I didn't say pull it.
May I be excused to go and get an Excedrin and, yes, use the toilet?
Yeah, can I stop you?
No.
Yeah. What is, you know, Dickman, that's why she gets the upper hand all the time with your stupid stuff.
You said pull it.
No, I didn't. I said pull up the Twitter.
Oh, I heard you say pull up. That's it.
Yeah, still doesn't mean you got to unzip.
I'm trying to be, better safe than sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. Better safe than sorry. Better safe than, that's a great one, bud. So if somebody walks in here that doesn't know our show at all and they see you unzipping and you say, well, better safe than sorry. Oh, yeah, why? Because Mr. Henry said pull up. And they'll say, what does that mean?
No, I'll say Mr. Henry told me to pull it.
And then they'll say, really? So you're unzipping and you're going to do it like he said.
And I'll say, yeah, I'll get fired if I don't.
And then they'll say,
you need an attorney and we'll help you get one.
Like I said, I should have just beat your ass right as soon as you came out with that crack rather than get into a big, long-winded discussion about it, because now the audience knows far more about it than they ever should have known. All right, the other news is they got that scumbag out of that bunker, and, you know, and there's another piece of news that's really fascinating. Fantastic. Congratulations. There is a prison guard someplace pregnant by a cop killer. That's right, a prison guard pregnant by a cop killer, according to an article posted today at New York Magazine. The article says that a female corrections officer in Brooklyn, was charged with sexual abuse of an inmate. She abused him. Hold on. Having inappropriate relations with a convicted murderer for more than 4 months last year in plain view of other inmates. Prosecutors say Nancy Gonzalez is 8 months pregnant with the child of inmate Ronell Wilson. Wilson was sentenced to death for killing two undercover police officers in 2003. However, that sentence was overturned in an appeal, and he's awaiting his retrial for sentencing. As if the above info is not bad enough, Wilson's defense attorney claims the inmate is mentally retarded and therefore cannot face capital punishment. One news source claims Wilson hatched a plan to avoid the death penalty by impregnating a female guard. I took a chance because I was so vulnerable and wanted to be loved, and now I'm carrying his child, said Gonzalez. Why not give him a child as far as giving him some kind of hope, she added. Is that what she added? Authorities became aware of the guard pregnant by a cop killer after they heard a recorded phone call from Gonzalez to her boyfriend, who's in state prison.
What? Now, wait a minute. She's got a boyfriend who's also in prison.
Yeah, she's a prison guard with a guy. Hey, New York, you know, all you got to do is, like, vet these people a little bit better.
Now, how are they going to know she got a boyfriend?
What are you talking about, man? You know, did I ever tell you what happened here? I didn't tell you. I got a phone call one day, and I pick up the phone and said, you know...
Of course you did if you got the phone call.
What?
Of course you did if you got the phone call.
Yes, I picked the phone up.
Yeah, but I mean, you said you got a phone call, and you picked up the phone.
So?
Well, it stands to reason that you picked the phone up.
All right. I got a phone call, and the guy says, God.
What?
Will you just wait? You people are nitpicky. I call up. I didn't call up, okay?
Who called who?
Will you let me finish? The guy calls me.
Who did?
I'm going to tell you. He was a member of Navy Intelligence. He was a guy that works for Naval Intelligence. I'm thinking. He was with the U.S. Navy. And he says to me, how you doing, sir? I said, great. He said, do you live at such and such? I said, yes, I do. He said, I left my card. I said, you know, as a matter of fact, I did. I'd seen a card there. He said, well, I work with our United States Navy, and we know that there's some people that are applying for jobs with us. You know, we got people that are looking to be civilian contractors. I said, I understand that. And they happen to be neighbors of yours. I said, no kidding. And he went on to ask me questions about them. And I think they were just moving in or something. And I said, well, I'll certainly, you know.
You make up stuff? I would have made it stuff up.
Yeah, no, I didn't. You would have made it stuff up. No, I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to make life even more difficult for people in what is a difficult world anyway. But yeah, he asked me these questions. So the point that I'm trying to make here is there are ways of going into the backgrounds of people. I know it probably costs money. I know it's probably involved. I know the taxpayers are going to jump up and down and scream and cry and wet themselves. But what the hell do you want? You want this?
Well, no harm, no foul. I don't know who it's hurting. She wanted love. My God, in today's society, see, I'm holding back a belch, by the way, because you people react so negatively, so I'm holding a belch back. And that's why my voice sounded almost masculine there for a moment.
Because you're holding a belch back.
Yes, you don't have to. I can see the smirk. When you start smirking, Phil, there's nothing I wouldn't do to take the front of your face right off.
The front of my face?
Well, the back of it.
I should slap.
Take it easy, Margaret. All right, we're going to take a break. We've already got people bent out of shape. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back, and we'll have some of Kim Kardashian's Twitter comments about her jewel-encrusted you-know-what. Her gun. I'm just kidding. Her gun. Phil Henry Show.
Truth
is
our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You know how much money it costs to put diamonds all over Kim Kardashian, but a billion.
You're listening to the world famous Bill.
Yes, I know Bill Bondell.
All right, we're going to have on Bill Bondell from Twitter, and he's going to give us the background on Kim Kardashian and some of the comments that she might have made or didn't make on online this weekend. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we are here at the world-famous El Pacifico Studios of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And if you are not yet the owner, operator of a backstage pass to our website, philhenryshow.com, by goodness, you should get one, because it's all the rage. Everybody's going over there and just falling deeply and madly in love with all that it is. Now, we have thousands of hours of audio. We have thousands of hours of radio shows that go back over a decade, close to 5,000 hours, as a matter of fact. We have an archive unlike no other. We have live streaming video of our show right now. I am online here on Phil TV in HD. Our on-demand media, whether it is our video or our audio, is available on all devices across all platforms. So if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you can watch our video cast on demand. And very, very soon it will be available as a live stream as well. We are committed to providing that for you. And we are told by our developers that that will happen very, very shortly. So it's the greatest. And plus, our Milwaukee Lion archive, which people are already kind of crawling all over themselves and you know, rubbing up against each other because they dig it so very, very deeply. The Milwaukee Lion archives are there as well. You going to say, Bud?
Yeah, a lot of people are, because they're jonesing for football now, you can go and do it.
Yes, if you're going to miss football, go and listen to our Milwaukee Lion archives, because there's something for everybody there. There's football, there's the madness of Jack Gagner and Brett Morrison, there's the sponsors, the most incredible sponsors you've ever heard in your life. I think they had a crematorium sponsor the games, and there was a... What else did they have?
Didn't they have some sort of joy juice? I don't know.
Yeah, they had like a I know, it was Barney Gonad.
No, Joe Gonad Lemonade, yeah.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah, Joe Gonad Lemonade. The guy's a serial, he's worse than a serial murderer. He's like, he's like Leatherface, and you may not survive going into his house, but if you're in there, he's got lemonade that it's the finest you've ever had, but you'll probably die. So this is, you know.
I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't understand the attraction.
Well, I do. It's some people are sick and twisted, and they get their kicks by... They can't stay away from certain things, even if they'll kill... You know what an alcoholic does? An alcoholic drinks, even though he's going to die.
Now, that's a good point.
Yep, that is a good point. So maybe the people that go after Joe Gonad Lemonade, knowing that they'll get carved up, they can't resist. They just must have the lemonade. It's kind of like me and that sugar thing, you know. And what was it we were talking about last night?
Well, you had on Brad Rifkin. You can't stay away from sugar, and he can't stay away from pictures of flood damage in New Orleans.
Yes, that was it. What a mental midget he was. I'm so glad you got rid of that interview.
Well, I mean, he was being honest. He said, even though I hate myself for it, I go around New Orleans taking pictures of anything that I see that's been destroyed by a flood. And it's a sick, sick thing. And so far, he's made millions with his pictures. All right.
Yay.
Don't applaud that. All right, let's get on the line here. Bill Budell, is that it? I forget. Bill, how are you?
Hey.
Hey, and Bill and Margaret is here. You know Margaret Gray?
Yeah. Hey, Margaret, how are you?
Bill, is that your name, Budell, or did we... I know we made up a different name.
Well, it doesn't matter to me, Margaret. You can call me Budell if you want to. My initial thought was my name was Bill Bonell or something, I think.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
But you can use any last name. It's fine.
And, Bill, you're with Twitter, right?
I am with Twitter. Yes, indeed.
Bill, the question we have is Kim Kardashian. There seems to be some conflict over the tweets that she made today concerning a diamond-encrusted pistol. Are you aware of those?
I am. She made these tweets over the weekend, Margaret.
Oh, all right.
And they were as a result of a gun that she got as a gift from a friend. And I think it was a photograph was taken of it, and she put the photograph on the on Twitter, and of course people reacted to it. They were not very happy about it. I think it was a faux pas, as you people in the media would call it. You know.
All right. So people were not happy with it, Bill. My question was, because I can't find the tweets. Did she scrub those?
Well. She probably did delete the tweets that were there. I have to go back and check. I keep a record of the celebrity tweets that are there, and I would go back and double check, but she probably scrubbed them, and you don't want to have those there because any length of time, these are going to embarrass you.
Well, all right, so they'll embarrass you, and so there's no record, but the fact of the matter is, she did tweet about a diamond-encrusted pistol.
I think she did. They're proving it difficult to do, but I can't say.
Do you have a picture of this gun? Do you have it, Margaret?
I don't, no.
It's very possible that she was joking and never had the gun. Well, look and see, and I can get back to you on that. I follow Kim Kardashian. There's a few select ones that I like, Alyssa Milano and some of those people. And they're bound to say some crazy things. They're crazy people.
Oh, you do? You follow some of the celebrities. Why is that?
Well, you want to know what they're doing. They could be saying some things that would be prompting some reactions. I'm not really sure about Kim Kardashian and what makes her tick. She's always been an X factor for us here at Twitter. And even though her tweets fetch a lot of money, advertisers pay the tweet, even the tweet.
That's something, yeah. Did you, Margaret, do you know that?
Yes, I did. How much does Kim Kardashian's tweets go for?
Well, Kim Kardashian and I think somewhere in the neighborhood of probably about $150,000 per tweet, you know.
$150,000 per tweet? Yeah, that's a lot of, you know, a lot of food, a lot of butt enhancement.
You better believe that, and so I went look at those things, you know.
Well, I don't know that we've actually established whether this actually happened. You say you did see these tweets.
I learned a lot of things. And I've got a, I call it a keyhole, you know, I'm going to take a peek in there and look and see. But I think she did. And, it's a joy to know her, look at the pictures.
Okay, we're talking here with Bill Budell or Blondell.
Bill Bonell, right?
Yeah, that sounds better, Bill Bonell.
All right, Bill, and you're talking about Kim Kardashian and the possibility that she tweeted pictures of a gun, a diamond-encrusted gun, and that there's other pictures. You mentioned that you like looking at her pictures.
Well, because the pictures are vetted through us, and we take some of them down. If they're not properly, and I've seen some doozies, there's no question about that.
You seen her nude?
Would you please shut the pie hole? Have you?
I have, and I've seen that. It's nothing I want to talk about. Because it takes your breath away.
And let's hold on here, Bill. Okay.
Sure.
Bill
Budell is good.
Budell from Twitter is with us, who vets many of the tweets and, in fact, takes down a lot of the tweets that are that maybe not appropriate. And he's taken some pictures away from the Kim Kardashian account. We're going to find out exactly what those had in them.
Well, I think we know. I think he...
Yeah, all right, well, we'll get some more descriptive description. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I'll see you later then, huh?
No, we can stay on the line.
Okay.
Phil Hendry.
All right, on the line is Bill Budell from Twitter, and Don Berman from Channel 19 News is also on the line here as well. And Don, thank you for joining us. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing very well, and I wanted to jump in and give you a hand if I could.
All right, you know a little bit here about Bill. You there?
I'm right here, Phil. Great to be Don. Good to talk to you. It's great to talk to you, Bill. Bill has a malady, if I may, Bill.
Okay, that's fine.
Bill has a malady called Finnegan's Dance. It's a very, very rare neurological disorder. And I hope I'm not talking out of school.
No, it's all right, I think. You've always been very smart with it.
It's called Finnegan's Dance. And what it is, Phil, is a neurological disorder that affects the neurotransmitters in the brain. That is, those chemicals, if you will, that process information. And it causes you, Bill, if I'm right, to be conflicted about how you feel about the things you say, right?
That's true, Don.
But I never am unsure of how I feel. Just, it is difficult to express it. Right. So, in other words, you feel good that little boy in Alabama has been released, don't you?
I feel great about it. And
good. But do you see, he can't express it properly. It sounds like he's making fun of it. And you don't want to do that, do you, Bill?
No, I don't.
Right. So I called in.
That's a very interesting, and I must say it must be a terribly distracting and depressing ailment to have, Bill.
I would think so as well.
Thank you, Phil. I do the best I can.
But I try and be friendly, and I think Bill is tiring out. Are you getting tired?
I'm tired. Yeah, bored.
I'm bored. All right, you mind if I take it from here, Bill, and I can explain much better than you can in your debilitated state and the sort of the babbling that you're doing much better.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr.
Hendry.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's been nice.
Thank you, Bill. Very, very brave of you to come on.
I appreciate it.
To show people what this malady is about, I think it's very important, Phil, that your audience and people around the world, whenever there is someone afflicted with an ailment that is exotic, that is slightly disgusting, and I don't think that's the case in Bill's case. I don't think that's the case in Bill's case. Bill, are you there?
I'm here.
Not really.
Bad.
No, I don't think it's disgusting either.
No, but I think that it's troubling. It's disturbing. And it disturbs me greatly, and I'm glad that he's leaving the airwaves. But having said that, I'm very, very grateful that we've had a chance to look at you, look you up and down, and sort of cluck our tongues and go, isn't that interesting, and then shoo you off the air.
Yes. I mean, no.
All right.
I think that was a. I don't think that was a good way of putting it.
Bill, you go ahead and just get out of here, will you?
All right.
Bye. Goodbye. Look, Phil, Don Berman here, Channel 19 News, if I may. I think what Bill was going to tell you was he vets photographs for Twitter. That is, photographs that come into Twitter and that may not be appropriate for the Twitter feed.
I want to interrupt for a moment, if I could, Don.
Certainly.
I want to clear up. I'm left with the feeling of disquiet over the last exchange. Are the two of you saying that I expressed myself inappropriately?
I think what you said when you said he's disturbing and we get him off the stage as fast as possible.
Well, I, I,
I understand you, Margaret. It disturbs me, too. Bill has been a friend of mine for years. He's been a friend of mine since we were kids. I've known Bill through thick and thin, through good and bad. I remember when this ailment first struck. We were freshmen in high school. And he was laughing hysterically when he saw one of the priests, one of our teachers, was Father Boudouin, who was run over by a UPS van and dragged for about a half a mile. And he was laughing, and I said, "How do you feel?" He said, I'm distraught. I'm terribly distraught.
Dragged for a half a mile?
And he laughed at that.
Yes, yes. And that's when we knew something was wrong. And that's when we found out that he had Finnegan's dance.
Now, why do they call it that? I'm almost afraid to ask.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the disease was named anecdotal.
Don't do it, Phil. Whatever you're doing, please don't do it.
I think you want to say anecdotal.
Yes, yes.
Anecdotally and colloquially.
Yeah, well, the colloquially and anecdotally. Go ahead, Phil. Try and say it.
All right, you're not going to embarrass me.
Go on, try and say it. I'm not going to, you know.
Anecdotally.
What?
Boy, that was bad.
All right, well, you just go ahead and say what you want to say.
I was going to say Finnegan's Dance is named after a Dr. Atellum Finnegan. He was an Irish physician who first was the one to diagnose this. And it was a series of cases he was getting. These were all Irish dock workers. These were seafarers, men who worked on the sea, on the ocean. They were generally fishermen. Not too many of them were the long haul kinds of sailors in the 19th century that you might think of when you're talking about the large freight ships, so on and so forth. These were fishermen, and they would come off of their boats and dance from the dock all the way down to the bar. And when you'd ask them what they were dancing for, they would say, "Didn't you hear? We lost a crewman today. He died. He was eaten by a shark, or some horrible thing had happened." And it was that point where Dr. Finnegan said there's a difference between their physical reaction and their actual psychological reality. And that's when he began to diagnose this as some kind of a neurological disorder.
They would dance off of the boat.
Yes, they would dance. In the case of, for instance, one of their one of the people, sailors, that they, a crewman, that a comrade that they knew was hurt or was killed generally by some kind of an accident, like a gaff hook went through his eye or...
Oh, my God.
A lot of it was bad. Or he was eaten or half-eaten by a shark and then begged his mates to kill him so that he wouldn't go around just, you know, a half of a guy. And
so he wouldn't go around... If a shark bit you in half, how long are you going
to
live?
Well, he wanted to make sure he didn't, you know. And they would say, are you sure? Because you could survive. And he'd say, are you kidding? Would you just go ahead and then they'd throw the rest of them to the shark.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this as seriously as I can. Don, if you're laughing, may God cook you thoroughly upon your death. But then I guess there wouldn't be...
I mean, if that happens, then what? I go to heaven then because I'm thoroughly cooked.
May God slow cook you.
That makes a little more sense.
And you're laughing, too. I'm disgusted with both of you. Goodbye.
Bye, Miss Gray.
You're not leaving.
I didn't say I was leaving.
I'm sorry, Phil. No.
It's okay. We're going to talk here with Don about Kim Kardashian and...
I mean, what do you think would happen if the shark bit you in half?
No. I understand.
If the shark bit you in half, and your half of you's gone, and you want to die now, you don't want to live a half of a guy.
What about half boy?
I beg your pardon?
What about half boy?
Yeah, what about half boy? That half boy and freak. Half boy. Half boy was born that way. We're talking about the movie Freaks, folks, and it's not a very nice title for a film. Did you see Freaks, Don?
Are you kidding? I own it. I own the DVD. I own the original VHS. I've got the DVD. I've also got the Blu-ray disc. And I have, believe it or not, Phil, I've got an original print in my projection room. So I'm covered.
Really?
Well, now I'm getting pissed off.
Well, what are you talking about? You're getting pissed off. You're the guy that owns Freaks in every format. Have you got it on your iPhone?
Matter of fact, I do.
So, Half-Boy, with all due respect to the actors, and they were, and if you ever read the story of Freaks, the making of this movie was Todd Browning, who had made Dracula, and he was obviously hot in Hollywood, as they say, you know.
Yeah, he could do no wrong.
He could do no wrong. Todd Browning had just made a big smash hit movie called Dracula, so as directors will, they can sort of call their next project, and he wanted to do this project. I don't know if this was his next project, but he got the green light to do this movie, Freaks. And the casting call went out to circuses and sideshows all over America. Understand, folks, this was a time when this kind of thing was still legal. Today it's illegal. It's illegal to exhibit a human being in this manner, and I'm glad that it's illegal. It dehumanizes us. It's not anything becoming of a civilized people, and so it's against the law to exhibit people this way. But back then it wasn't. And Todd Browning went out and did a casting call. And, Don, you know the story, right?
Well, he got the creme de la creme of the freaks, if I may use the word, of American freak, freakiverse, I guess.
The freak world.
Yeah, the world of freak.
Of all the people that worked in circus sideshows, okay, and these were people that had, believe it or not, huge egos, you know.
Yes, the story of the bearded woman.
Yeah, the bearded lady particularly was very had a real ego. She was, do you understand who you're talking to? I'm the greatest bearded lady. Really. And there was Torso Man. That was the guy that had no arms, no legs. This guy could roll a cigarette and light it all with his mouth, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what else is he going to use? His ear? Yeah, you bet it was with his mouth. It'd be funny if you would have said he could roll a cigarette and light it with his hands. No, he had none.
No, I understand that, Don, you know, but I still need to articulate it.
Don't get pissed at me.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, goes without saying.
No, it doesn't go without saying. No, it doesn't.
What are you going to do, roll it and light it with his eyelid?
I'm the professional broadcaster here, and I'm explaining to my audience, okay? They had a lot of people, and then they had this Half-Boy that you're talking about, and this is a poor guy who had, literally, the cat just had half of a body, man. I mean, he was his arms and his upper torso, and he walked around on his arms.
Right, exactly. And again, these people were the superstars of their universe.
Right, and Todd Browning collected all of these people together for this film, Freaks, and it is one of the most unusual, compelling, incredible movies ever made. I've got to tell you, and I've seen it. I first saw it when I was like 19 at the Los Feliz over here, you know, like an art house, and I've seen it. I don't know, multiple times since. It's pretty interesting. So that's what you're talking about, Bud?
Yeah, well, the guy gets bit by a shark.
The guy gets bit by a shark. He doesn't go half boy. You don't go half boy bit by a shark. The only way you can go full half boy. And I shouldn't put it that way.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I mean, the only way is to be born that way. It was a congenital problem. It was a birth defect. Now, if you're bitten half by a shark and you beg to be killed, your crewmates are going to do the next logical thing and throw the rest of you. Or is that wrong to say?
No, it's not wrong to say. It just made me laugh, and that's why Margaret got up and left, and she's standing now in the doorway tapping her toe. What do you want, Margaret?
I want to get to the rest of the story about Kim Kardashian.
Right. Don, you did see some of the pictures that were deleted of Kim Kardashian?
Yes, I did.
And you're going to tell us about them when we come back?
Yes, I will.
Don Vermin, Channel 19 News with us. I'm sorry that I left, Margaret.
It's just made me sick, that's all.
Come on, will you? For crying out loud. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Put her on the line. Karen?
Oh, Margaret. Margaret, hi, it's Karen Doville. Margaret, how are you?
Karen, where did you ever hear that I don't like you?
Oh, no, I didn't, darling. No one said that you didn't like me, but I thought, you know, I got a new nurse, I bet. I wanted to call. I want to say hello, Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hey, Karen, how are you doing?
I'm good. Jerry is here, Jerry.
Hey, it's Henry. I'm going to ask you about a Super Bowl, all right? Because I think there's a couple of questions you haven't answered about that.
Let me have the phone, and and Herb's here, my husband, Herb, honey, hi.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. We wanted to ask you a question. But first, I just want to say something. Do you know that you almost, I think you saved my life every day. You really, really, really do. Your show saves my life every day. Okay, enough said. I don't want to start crying.
Well, you're very, very sweet, honey. I don't think that I save your life.
I some days, Phil, I'm just doing really bad. And you put a smile on my face. Oh! Oh! So, Herb, what do you want to say?
I don't.
All right, Jerry, go ahead.
Hey, Phil. Now, did you see the kiss on the Super Bowl between the geek, they call the geek, and the supermodel?
Yes, I did, yeah.
All right. Now, my sister-in-law, who I love, Karen, thought it was a... You said, didn't you, Karen?
I thought it was cute. I thought it was lovely.
It was tough. I don't know why it was tough, you know.
Oh, stop it. It was so sweet. What, Jerry?
I thought that it was something that should have been removed from the television. It made me feel cheap. It made me feel wrong. Suddenly the mat was pulled out from underneath me as a human being, not as a man. As a man, I lost all sense of myself as soon as I saw the geek and the supermodel together. But then the mat came out from underneath me as a human. That is an upright, walking, sentient, self-aware being. When the slurping noises is the only way I can describe it.
Oh God. You know what? Jerry, this is Margaret Gray. I know exactly what you mean. That was uncalled for, to listen to the obnoxious salivatic is the word that I use.
There's no such word.
Yes, there is such a word, because I just used it, so there must be. God.
Are you done, Jerry?
No. I want to ask Mr. Henry. How did you feel when you saw the spittle, the tongue exchange?
All right, hold on. Hold everybody. Just hold on, okay?
I thought it was sweet. It was kind. Herb, what'd you think?
I have no comment. I have no comment because I went... Give me that.
This is my husband, Herb. He's a real crank.
Hey, Phil.
Herb, how are you?
Good. I went for a bottle of Louis... I had the Remy Martin. I'm sorry. I went for a bottle of the Remy. And I said, here's to the King of England. I said, here's to Napoleon and all of his sisters. Which is it's a toast that I generally reserve for the Super Bowl, but I knew it was coming, you see.
You got drunk?
Well, I wouldn't say I got drunk, but I knew it was coming. As soon as I saw the tongues touch, I said, here's to Napoleon, and what's missing? And boom! And
what is missing?
Well, they say that Napoleon's buried in Napoleon's tomb, except for one very key item, which is in a jar of alcohol in a medical college in New York, if you know what I'm saying. So I said, here's to Napoleon and his Royal American. Bang! There went another shot, okay?
Well, now, what's going on, Herb, when you're taking all of these drinks?
What's going on is I'm beginning to feel real good about everything. Everything I'm seeing, everything I'm hearing.
Let me have the phone.
All right, go ahead. She's the boss, yeah.
I just wanted to say that is the truth. When he breaks out his Remy Martin, it is... Yeah.
You know, there's no amount of alcohol that's ever been made. No amount of alcohol that ever will be made. And no amount of alcohol that would ever had been made that's going to keep me from vomiting violently liver bile, blood, pancreatic fluid, and...
Okay, God almighty.
Hold on. Come on, Jerry, back off. No, Phil, seriously. See, this is what these idiots... I didn't mean that, honey.
Okay.
Right, not you. When I take the Remy Martin and I say, here's the Napoleon, long may she run. Boom! There goes another shot. Because I knew what was going to happen.
All right, okay. So thank you very much. I got it. I think you're it's a split decision there in the Deauville household. Is that right?
No, I'm outvoted. I think both of them think it was disgusting. I thought it was cute. I thought it was sweet. I thought it was very, very nice. And God bless you, Phil. God bless you, Margaret. Thank you, everybody, for making it so wonderful for us. when we listen to your show, it is so much fun. It really, really is.
Your voice is going way, way high.
I don't care. I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay, bye.
She's gone?
Yeah, hello? Yeah.
All right, so we do have Don, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Don, you were going to tell us about, I'm sorry, we're out of time, you were going to tell us about the photographs. You've seen these deleted photographs of Kim Kardashian.
Yes, I have. I have. And I had sat down and I tried to collect my thoughts concerning these because there are some incredible pictures. And I even made notes, and I've got duplicate notes here, and it's a slideshow, but it's only for my own personal informational base. But if you don't have any time...
Well, how are we going to do this? I want to have Don describe these photographs.
Why don't you hold him over to the next hour?
Okay, we'll hold you over to the next hour.
That was easy.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Don Berman, next hour, he'll talk about and describe the photographs he's seen of Kim Kardashian, ones that Twitter wouldn't let you see. When we're back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If I ever saw a dork lip lock a beautiful woman like that, my face is everything that man has built. Shut the hell.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. This hour we will get back to Don Berman, Channel 19 News anchor. He'll tell us as tastefully as possible the qualities in many of the photographs deleted from Twitter that are not allowed to be on Twitter that he's seen, and some of them are of the very controversial Kardashian daughter, sister, Kim. Now, Kim Kardashian also today was in the news as the result of allegedly a diamond-encrusted gun she'd gotten as a gift, and she tweeted a picture of that, and it got a lot of people upset. Right, Margaret?
Yes, well, it got a lot of people that are... I'm a big Kim Kardashian fan. I know it's very controversial to say that, but I like any woman that just lets it breathe. It's what I call allowing it to breathe. Now, I don't want any commentary from either one of these, please.
Bud and Robert.
Bud.
Because they get that conspiratorial look on their faces.
I don't want you guys commenting, okay?
And say anything.
But what I'm going to say is liable to elicit some comments from them.
Can I just say something?
I didn't say anything.
Can I say something?
Yes.
When you say that, it makes them start thinking of stuff to do. Grow up, you guys.
I didn't do nothing.
I know you didn't do anything, but you got that look. I know what Margaret's talking about. The two of you guys are eyeballing each other like, here we go, this ought to be fun.
I didn't say nothing either.
Don't you think I know that you didn't say anything? I'm saying don't say anything after she says what she's going to say.
What's she going to say?
I'm not going to tell you what she's going to say. What are you going to say, Margaret?
Well, I don't know whether I want... What I wanted to say was Kim Kardashian is one of those beautiful women that allows everything on her to get exposed to the wind and the air. Okay, forget it.
Ow!
I told you.
See? So what... Come on, Margaret, sit down.
What I mean by that is she is a free woman, she expresses herself freely, and she lets the air get at it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but I don't know what you say with let the air get at it. You're just begging for it.
No, she's not begging for it. You guys got one-track minds. Although I will ask you, what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I think every woman listening knows what I mean. That Kim Kardashian is the kind of woman... it to... get air dried. I can't describe it. She...
You know, when you describe it that way, though, it will invite certain crude images, you know?
I beg your pardon. There is nothing I'm saying that's crude. When I say that Kim Kardashian allows... she air dries it, I'm saying in a figurative and spiritual sense. All right?
So in a spiritual sense... Kim Kardashian.
And I'd like the audience to know you were just holding a belch back there.
What is it all of a sudden where we're telling everybody when we're holding back belches?
Yeah, that's so nobody can get angry when a person belches.
No one will get angry.
You were making a point of me belching on the air, so I decided that I would hold them back. But I'm not going to get credit for that unless I point that out.
I see. So you want us all to give you accolades for not belching?
I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, man, Mr. Henry's in trouble now.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm in the toilet.
No, I know you're there, but...
What's so funny?
What's so funny? I'm going to give her an award for not belching. Oh.
I didn't say that.
No, Margaret. Let's get Don Berman back on here. How are you, Don?
Well, I'm doing great, although we are starting our... what time is it right now? This is the 11 o'clock news has started. I'm supposed to be in the anchor chair for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don, go.
No, it's all right. I've got Bill Cutherton and Leslie Lydell. They're filling in for me in the first half. I told them I have this interview that I'm doing.
But your newscast is far more important. I'm sorry. You know, we should have gotten to you sooner.
Yes. Yeah, all of that is true. You should have gotten to me sooner. And yes, it's good that you're saying you're sorry. But no, when I make a commitment, when Don Berman says he's going to be in the interviewee chair, then Don Berman is there, and that's where Don Berman is. Don Berman is here. And one of the revolting things about the reality of you making me late for my newscast is that Don Berman, now for the most part, will be talking about Don Berman in the third person. And a lot of people don't like that.
I don't like it at all. It sounds extremely impersonal.
I understand that, but that's what you get for making Don Berman late.
All right, Margaret's back here.
You know, Phil, am I not entitled to go to the bathroom without a big brouhaha?
In the middle of us discussing something on the air, no, you're not. And I'd like you to stop doing that.
Stop going to the bathroom.
No, stop going to the bathroom in the middle of a segment. Don Berman is on with us. Margaret Gray is here. And so, Margaret, why don't you start the question? Don's going to talk with us about some of these pictures that he's seen deleted off of Twitter.
Yes, Don, Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret.
What, are we talking about Kim Kardashian here?
Yes, we are talking about Kim Kardashian. Don Berman saw some photographs that were deleted of Kim Kardashian, and I can now, Don Berman can now say...
Don, can I interrupt you?
No, you may not. You can't interrupt Don Berman.
Well, I'm going to interrupt Don Berman anyway. Do you really have to do the third person?
Yes, Don Berman has to, because you made Don Berman late. How many times do I have to tell you that?
You made Don Berman late? Of course you're going to have to be Don Berman.
Yeah. I mean, if you have not made Don Berman late, then...
All right, I understand. Thank you. Go ahead, Don.
All right. So, I blew it again. Don Berman, I didn't see anything. Don Berman saw everything. All right? That's what you've done to me by making me late for my newscast. You've ruined my ego. You've ruined my self-image. You've ruined, in essence, the very idea that I have knowledge of self. See, I just said I. Don Berman, you've ruined. You've ruined Don Berman's knowledge of Don Berman. All right?
All right, Don, I understand. This is Margaret. Let's leave Phil out of it because he's looking more and more bewildered.
As well he should, because of what he did to Don Berman. But Don Berman doesn't know Don Berman. Don Berman hardly knows Don Berman.
All right. Let's talk about the Kim Kardashian pictures.
Yes. The Kim Kardashian pictures that Don Berman saw were nudes. They were nudes from the waist down.
Only the waist down?
Only the waist down. Although Don Berman has it on good account that it was, in fact... Kim Kardashian. Now, we all know and we're all aware of Kim Kardashian's extraordinary charms as a woman, physical charms. But I am here, Don Berman is here to tell you.
What are you laughing at now? You two.
Nothing, no. Don Berman is here to tell you that Don Berman has never, ever, ever, in Don Berman's life, seen, excuse Don Berman for using this word, Don Berman, excuse Don Berman for using the word, Don Berman has never seen an ass like that. Now, that is the God's honest truth. Don Berman kids you not.
Well, I would expect that you would say that.
You would expect that Don Berman would say that. Yes, you would.
Of course. I mean, the woman is known for having a... She's a beautiful woman. She's got a beautiful, shapely figure. And for any man who is enamored of a woman's, you know, posterior...
Well, listen to you making it all very polite.
I'm on the air, and somebody's got to hold it together, okay?
Excuse me. Don Berman will tell you this much. You go right ahead and try and hold it together after you've seen what Don Berman saw. Because when Don Berman saw it, Don Berman was no good for the next 24 hours. Don Berman couldn't do his newscast. Don Berman couldn't do the Don Berman report. Don Berman couldn't do Don Berman on fishing. You know the different things that Don Berman does.
Yes.
All right. Don Berman couldn't do any of them. Don Berman couldn't do Don Berman's Wall Street. Don Berman and Your Garden.
What do you do, Don? Do you do...
What do I do?
Yeah, what are you doing all those shows?
No, you mean what does Don Berman do?
Get out of here, will you? Hang up on him.
What did you just do?
I hung up on that idiot.
God, you're all pissed off everything about it. People think you've gone crazy or something.
Well, you know something? Maybe I have. I'd had about enough of that as I could take. Well, Don Berman this and Don Berman that. And Don Berman was no good.
He told you you made him late for the newscast.
You know what? I don't care. I don't care if I made him late for his newscast. He could. You know what he should have done? He should have said, thanks a lot, Phil. I'm sorry I can't be on the air with you. I have a newscast to do.
Well, he's trying to be polite.
Well, no, he wasn't polite. He wasn't polite. Not only was he not polite by doing the interview, throughout the whole stupid interview, every time he said me, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to say I thought, Don Berman thought. What is that about?
Phil, it's his way of saying to you, in the future, get me on the air in time or you will suffer the consequences.
Well, guess what it did? Instead, now I may not have him on the air ever again.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm sorry.
Phil, do you realize what you're saying?
What is it with you guys? Do I realize what I'm saying? Don Berman, Channel 19 News. That guy has caused me more problems running over dead bodies in body bags, having an alcohol addiction problem, having the affair with the underage intern. You name it. Openly advocating the smoking of marijuana. I mean, come on. Now the guy's talking about losing his mind because he saw Kim Kardashian's bare rear end on some deleted photos because he happens to know Bill Budell, who I don't even think exists, if you want my honest opinion.
Did you not interview him?
I interviewed a guy with some kind of a Tourette syndrome. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's just how I'm feeling. All right, we're going to be right back, folks, with more news. We got to, you know, unfortunately update you a little bit on the tsunami is, you know, should we talk about the tsunami? We'll just give you a small update on that and some other news when we come back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You hung up on Don Berman? You did. You hung up on Don Berman.
Reality TV star, twin picture, gold plane, jump down, only a few wings, Kim K.
Let me have that, Margaret.
Grab that out of my hand.
Well, you're sitting there going, nobody knows what you're talking about.
Let me see it. Okay, right. Kim Kardashian.
Anyway, welcome back, folks, to the Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on. Kim Kardashian. Right here. Okay, reality TV star, twin picture, gold plane. And a gun playing thing with family.
Give me that, will you? Yeah, I'll look at it. Don't! Come on, I know what you guys are going to do. Give it to me, man.
Reality TV star tweeted a picture of a gold-plated, diamond-studded pistol. Over the weekend, sparkling tweet outrage over a few weeks ago. How about, you like that?
Oh, that was like David Brinkley.
It was very good, Robert.
How do you?
Give me that. The reality TV starlet tweeted a picture of a gold-plated, diamond-studded pistol over the weekend, one end stuck in her... I'm kidding.
Let me see.
No, I'm joking. The reality TV starlet tweeted a picture of a gold-plated, diamond-studded pistol...
One end stuck in her... Oh, I'm kidding.
All right, Margaret, I'm just having a couple of laughs. You know, is it against the law?
I think with a topic like guns, yes, it is.
God, Miss Gray.
You keep out of it. You're talking about guns. Do you know the damage that has been done in this country?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. The reality TV starlet tweeted a picture of a gold-plated, diamond-studded pistol over the weekend, sparkling tweep outrage. Only a few weeks ago, Kim K signed the Sandy Hook Promise Pledge in response to the tragic Newtown shooting. By signing, an individual agrees to honor the 26 victims of the shooting and do everything I can to encourage and support common-sense solutions that make my community and our country safer from similar acts of violence. I dig.
What do you dig? What is that?
Well, I can understand. I'm not knocking the woman for owning a gun. I am definitely knocking her for her sense of timing. You know, timing is everything. It's like the man said, like Johnny Carson said. Didn't Johnny Carson used to say he had a pillow on his sofa and embroidered on it was timing is everything, you know? And perception is reality. Those are two things that come into play here. And the perception is that Kim Kardashian thinks the whole idea of guns and gun violence is kind of a fun thing to play with. And the other idea is that Kim Kardashian tweeting a picture of a gun almost pridefully is insensitive. Now, is she? I doubt seriously that she is. Is she not too bright? I will say yes, that's probably the case. I do know that there are social media management companies. Now, we use one. We happen to have a great one in the guys at LEG.
Well, but they allow you to tweet things, too.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But they keep certain things on the feed, you know, talk about our podcast, this, that. I'm not going to keep a secret out of that. It's a great thing. It's a great asset to have if you can do it. But when you have a social media company that cannot advise properly, like in this case she does, she's got some company that I think is offshore, and they look at what's trending, and then they create or construct tweets about Kim Kardashian's clothing line based upon what's trending. Well, on one of those days, and it wasn't too long ago, you guys all remember, there was another horrific tragedy. God knows, I forget. They're all running together in my mind now, but this was some sort of a violent situation that was not known by these people at her social media company, and I guess they didn't give two hoots. They took this term and they inserted it into some tweet about Kardashian's clothing line and made her look like a real douche, to be perfectly blunt. Now, Kardashian's fans, I'm going to have to say this, and I don't really... Her fans are real weird. If you go over to her feed... Here, I'll do it right now, in fact.
A lot of them, they think she's God and everything.
Yeah, she does have a very slavish following.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it I don't understand. But these, again, you can't really judge people by their most active fans, because the active fans are the ones that are... oftentimes, they're not necessarily bad people, but if you're going to find any squirrely people, that's where you'll find them. Now, I'll give you an idea here. What? Why can I not get this to work, bud?
All you got to do is push that button right there, and it goes over to that one.
Okay, here. Kim Kardashian fan. Have fun, Kim. She tweeted this. Let's go, Mississippi. Can't wait to see you for my fragrance signing. So she's going down there. She's going to sign.
What's she going to sign? A fragrance?
She's signing bottles of her perfume.
Yeah. Let's go, Mississippi. Kim Kardashian. Have fun, Kim. I love you so much. Sophie Kardashian. Kim, so beautiful. Oh, my God. Nicole Kardashian. Will you do a meet and greet in New York? Joe Dubin. My God, Kimmy. Why are you wearing a hotel curtain? You look terrible. Please come home. I miss you. You know, so beautiful. Love your dress. I mean, they're not even tweeting about the stuff that she's talking about. They're just enamored of this woman. I mean, they're in love. And these are all females. There's very few guys that, and as crazy as it sounds, there's very few guys that are very articulate, explicit fans of Kim Kardashian. I think there's a lot of closet male Kim Kardashian fans, you know.
Are you one?
No. I mean, yeah, she's got a great ass, but beyond that, there's nothing about her that's actually really... relevant to anything in my world, so I, you know.
That means, yeah, basically what that means is you can't afford to take her out.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's what that means, you know.
Well, Phil, don't be bitter. You can't be, You can't be all things to all women. Some women are just going to need that kind of monetary and economic enhancement that some men can provide.
Well, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So if that's what it's all about with her, yeah, you're right. Phil Henry's out of the running, man. But even if I did have that kind of bread, I'd still be out of the running. Because I would put myself out of the running. How does that feel?
I don't believe it. Not for a minute.
Great. In any event, so Kardashian, the reality TV starlet, tweeting this picture, sparking a tweet of a tweep outrage. And I think that I understand it, man, because look, you can't sign a pledge like that and then come back with the gun. It shows that you're not serious. It shows that, oh, yeah, sure, I'll sign that. It shows, hey, Miss Kardashian, you know what happened? Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Would you sign a pledge? Oh, yes, yeah, bang, bang, bang. She signs it because she wants to be ever so, you know, on top of it. I'm sure she meant it. But it shows you, like, within 24 hours, we're on to the next thing, and we're on to the next big personal appearance, and, here's another thing here, and here's another thing here. She's got the same attention span as her fans. She's got the same attention span, frankly, sorry to have to say this, but probably most of the American people.
Well, that is a slam.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, she does. She's got about the same attention span as most of the American people.
You almost gagged up there.
Yeah, I did hear that. What is that?
Something in the...
Something that's affecting all of us. I don't know what it is. Oh, my God. You took your boots off.
Yeah, so what?
Is that you?
Put the boots back on. Get out of here, bud. Get out.
Aren't I allowed to air my feet out?
You can air your feet out outside, then wash... Ugh. Anyway, boy, did that take me off of the...
Let's talk about Kim's fragrance, shall we?
Yeah, I could use about two bottles of it right now. We'll be right back with...
I'll do it. We'll be right back.
Yeah, let me do it. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's lovely.
Here on Phil TV, welcome back to the show, folks. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. If you're watching Phil TV in HD this evening, we've had some new fade effects. That one was like a rock being tossed into the water. Here, I'll do it again for people. It's just like, see that?
Yeah, it looks like when you skip a rock on a water or something.
Why do you yell everything?
What?
What? Just like that.
Yeah, why are you yelling, bud?
No, because I'm over here. I'm just... putting my socks on, I washed everything off, my feet is clean, and I used, well, I hope you don't mind, I used some of the Playboy Bunny, I used some of that water.
The Playboy cologne?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, it smells good. It smells much better than your feet did when...
Yes, it does. It looks like it's an interesting effect. But anyway, welcome, if you have a backstage pass, and you're not watching the video cast, you really ought to... We have a new stream... it's not yet the live stream for Apple products. However, we are available on demand for all devices. So tomorrow you can watch our video cast, whatever the device, mobile device or otherwise, watch the video cast as well as listen to our archives. Live, though, while we await the live stream for iPhone and iPad, the picture that we do have is like unbelievable, man. It's like 1,000,000% better, don't you think?
Well, it's very fluid. The color is amazing. The... It's just lovely.
Excuse me. Don Berman was going to describe to us the magnificence of Kim Kardashian's ass, I guess, and we never did get around to that, right?
Yeah, Mr. Berman had to go do the news, and then they realized it was too late to do the news, and he basically said he had to lie down.
Now, why did he need to lie down?
Because he said the memory of... Basically, a memory of Kim Kardashian butt
force the wind out of him.
Yes, he said he had trouble getting wind thinking about her rear end.
And then Bud made the crack.
Yeah, then Bud made the whole break wind crack.
I didn't... You know, I'm telling you, Bud, thank God you didn't do it on the air. You didn't, and don't do it on the air, okay? Because I will. I'll belt you.
I didn't mean to.
So I'm sorry that we won't get the description there. Don Berman, and I don't believe it for a second, I will simply say that Don has been known to come up with all kinds of cockamamie excuses, but to say that the very memory of Kim Kardashian's naked rear end knocked the wind out of him, I'm sorry, I am not buying it. All right, in other news, a powerful 8.0 magnitude earthquake caused a tsunami that sent strong waves crashing into several South Pacific islands, with officials in the Solomon Islands fearing that some residents had lost their lives. The earthquake prompted tsunami warnings and watches from several island chains to Australia and later New Zealand, but many of those were later canceled. Now, the low-lying Solomon Islands, however, were not spared. George Herming, a government spokesman, said the tsunami sent two nearly 5-foot waves into the western side of Santa Cruz Island, damaging at least 50 homes. The police commissioner of the islands, John Lansley, said his patrols reported that at least 4 people and perhaps more were likely killed by the waves and ensuing flooding. Richard Dapo, a school principal on an island near Santa Cruz, told the Associated Press that he'd been getting calls from families on the coast whose homes had been damaged. "I try to tell the people living on the coastline, move inland, find a higher place, make sure to keep away from the sea, watch out for waves." The earthquake struck at 11 a.m., and immediately there were tsunami warnings triggered, warnings limited to the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, Tuvalu, New Caledonia, Fiji, and Futuna. And these are all islands there in the southwestern Pacific. And I was on Fiji a few years ago. I never knew that I was that far south, but I did know that we were close to New Zealand.
Didn't you say you landed in Auckland, right?
No, we did not land in Auckland. What we did was, if you're going to fly to Fiji, it's actually pretty cool flying out of L.A. because you can get a nonstop. You literally go from L.A. to Nandi, which is the capital of Fiji, and it's the that's the city, the large city, where the airport is. Then you go to New Zealand or Australia. And I was with people, and I was talking to a couple of guys. That's a long flight, man. You're going from L.A. all the way down to Australia, and I don't care. Can you imagine if you're flying from Europe? But just even from L.A., you're flying from L.A. to Australia. And I said to the guy, it's a long damn flight. He said, I'm glad that we stop. He said, I'd rather that we stop, and they do, in Auckland, New Zealand, and then they fly on to Australia. You can get up and walk around because it's too insane. You're not going to be getting down there in any, quick time. But flying to Fiji was probably one of the easiest flights I've ever experienced because it seemed so quick. We flew through the night, and I don't know, man. It seemed like when the sun came up, there was Fiji. But it's pretty far south. And those islands down there are pretty, low in the water. And, man, a 5-foot tsunami, that sounds like a pretty, that can be scary. I think we think of tsunamis as being 20-foot high walls of water. We think 30-foot high walls of water. You want to know something? Is this significant of anything when you talk about dreams?
What?
I had 2 years ago, and I don't think I've had one since. I had a series of dreams involving being in an apartment on the top floor of a building and seeing the ocean waters rising and then overwhelming the room that I'm in and then me floating away on this floodwater. And I'm with my family, meaning my original birth family. My dad is there, my mom's there, my sisters, my brother. And we're... and I remember in this dream, I say to my dad, we're going to get flooded out of here. We're going to, this water is rising. We're going to have to start to swim. I think it's too late now. And that's what happens, though. This water just comes crashing through. And we are floating, and I'm really scared because I'm in this huge, vast body of water until I sort of turn around, and like all dreams, it's really weird. I look, and there's dry land, and there's like a liquor store, and there's cats that are going in and buying bottles of cheap wine, and I realize I'm safe.
You're on Skid Row.
Yes, I'm safe. I'm not on Skid Row.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know.
What do you mean buying bottles of cheap wine?
I don't know. I just, all of a sudden, I was deposited on dry land, and it happened to be this extremely urban, low-income setting. Yeah, I guess it did look like Skid Row.
You're safe now, Mr. Henry. Sneaky Pete wine, yeah.
Yep. Straight Applejack, 100 proof.
Well, whatever. I know that dreams have to do with your own life. And sometimes they don't mean anything. There's a whole school of thought now that says that dreams are nothing more than the random firing of neurons. It just, you know, sometimes they mean something, sometimes you just, they don't mean anything.
Wait a second. Dreams, what are you trying to tell me? The dreams don't mean anything. Dreams are very meaningful, Phil. I've kept a dream journal for years. I've studied with Elaine Guzman. I've studied with Ladner Brook. You know who he is?
No, I don't.
Don't even pretend to joke with me about it. Ladner Brook. Ladner Brook.
I've never heard of Ladner Brook.
Boy, you know something? You are so far out of it, and I think this is one of your problems. You're just not tied into what's going on. Ladner Brook, Wayne Beefington. Don't you dare these are men that have given their lives to the interpretation of dreams.
I've never heard of Ladner Brook. I've never heard of Wayne Beefington.
Really? Why don't I just dismiss your entire life? I've never heard of Wolfman Jack. I've never heard of whoever. Howard Stein.
Howard Stern.
Whatever. I've never heard of Phil Henry.
Fine. I just, if you haven't, you haven't. What am I going to do, punish you for it? But I've never heard of Ladner Brook.
Well, Ladner Brook is one of the great dream interpreters. Not interpreters. A dream interpreter is someone that interprets dreams, but Ladner Brook does more. He not only interprets your dream, but he gives it a clinical and historical place. So you understand what I'm saying? He is an interpreter. He is an interpreter. See? So, what is that stench?
Well, you had your arms raised.
Hold on. Oh, my God, they're my own pits, aren't they?
Oh, God!
Don't make a big deal out of it. I was wondering what that was.
Well, you were gesticulating with your arms up in the air, and sooner or later...
Yeah, you're right about that. Let me... Woo! Where is that Playboy?
I left it in the sink.
Thanks.
Okay, so we know about Ladner Brook and Wayne Beefington.
Well, I don't know, man.
All I'm telling you is I had these dreams. And so, And then I don't have them anymore, man. I don't have them anymore. Now, I don't know whether it has to do with the news of tsunamis. Something tells me, though, that these tsunamis in my dreams predated the tsunamis. Probably more what it means is that I had these dreams after the news of tsunamis, but these dreams represented something sort of big in my life because stuff was really changing in my life at that time. And, you know, getting swept away. They say that water is symbolic of birth. It's...
Well, what do you mean, birth? Like a baby? Or?
Well, no. Water is symbolic of new beginnings. Water is symbolic of the purifying of life and beginning something. You know? I remember when Marie and I were married, she told me that she had dreams of babies, giving birth to a baby. And, you know, when I think back on it now, it's kind of sad, you know, because obviously what she was dreaming about was there was a new life in store for her. And it was, you know, as it turns out, in reality, it wasn't with me, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not bad, is it?
No, but it's kind of sad because I remember when she would tell me about these dreams, I would think, wow, I would tell her, I'd say, well, the baby represents something new, you know, something you're giving birth to new life, you know. And I thought it would, in my mind, I thought it obviously it meant, you know, she and I together. But, you know, that's just not...
Phil, that's very sad. Even though this is difficult. I felt sad listening to what you were saying. Well, I might as well tell you because you're going to... I farted.
Why did you do that?
Why did I fart?
No, why did you tell me?
Because you're going to find out...
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
So you did that on purpose, huh?
No, I did not. That's why I wanted to say something. I was so in love with you... Oh, God.
All right, enough with them.
I was in love with your story about the birth of the baby, and then that happened, and I thought, oh, my God, Phil's going to think I'm making fun. I was not making fun. It just happened, and I apologize. I really do.
And why did you announce it?
Because why did I announce it?
Well, I mean, even if we were going to start to notice it, I wouldn't have said anything.
And what about that and that?
And these two, if they said anything, I would have given them a sign that the audience couldn't see, at least on radio. You say something, you die. I would have controlled the situation. But instead, you make a huge thing out of it.
I'm trying to be polite. Someday you'll appreciate it.
Gee, Phil, I really, really loved your story. It was so, and yet I farted, and I...
Well, you know, you gotta appreciate honesty about it.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, look at the cynicism.
You know, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth,
so now I'm left with a really
bitch.
Lousy
Phil
segment.
Henry Show.
The studio stinks.
Give it a rest, will you?
Yeah, okay.
Bill Henry Show.
And you want to explain that?
There's nothing to explain. Margaret's, you know, you're beautiful tonight, Margaret, I'm telling you.
No, I just think people should know.
On the homepage to our website, I have there's a picture there. It looks like a blonde-haired man and a blonde-haired woman, a little blonde-haired bald baby, and they are, and it says, this is Phil TV. I created that using Nazi propaganda art.
You're kidding.
No, from World War II, from the 1930s. And the reason why I did is I thought there's something rather stoic and asinine about this stuff. And I said, geez, it's a shame to let it go to waste.
Well, I think you're giving the impression that only whites and only a particular kind of subgenre of the white.
No, I'm not, Margaret. Only you would do that.
Phil, don't point your finger at me.
Only you would turn it into something like that. No, I'm not doing that at all. It's a ridiculous picture taken from the Nazi era in Germany, this blonde guy and his blonde wife, and they're just all so blonde and so great. It's an asinine, and I was able to clone off all the other crap, and I put this is Phil TV there. I think it makes Phil TV look like some, you know, we're trying to make it look like some heroic, you know, effort. And what are we doing here? We're sitting here acting like jackballs. So...
Well, it sends the wrong message.
What message does it... Would you get off it, please?
Yeah, Ms. Gray. Oh, this is some blonde guy. He's probably gay, too.
He's probably gay? Look at him. He looks very hetero.
Well, okay. Whatever.
So, oh, I get it. So blonde men are gay.
No, I didn't say that. But all of the images... And one of the things that we're so addicted to are images in this society, in this world. Everything means something to us, and we're definitely wrong, man. Boy, look at Steven Tyler in the bun hugger Speedos. He don't look good, man.
I thought they looked pretty good for guys almost 70.
Well, a few sit-ups there, Steven, you'll be okay.
Is that Steven Tyler?
Yeah, and he's wearing a Speedo. And you know what? He's a good man. Good man. Even though he was a drug addict and he didn't take care of his own daughter. All right.
That was uncalled for right there. I happen to know Liv very well. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. Todd Rundgren, as you know, was a de facto father to her.
Yes, right.
So why would you say what you said?
Nothing.
You didn't say nothing about Steve Tyler.
You shut up. You don't say anything. Why did you say what you said?
Because what you just said was that Todd Rundgren took care of her. Where's Steven Tyler in this?
Where is Steven Tyler? He created that beautiful girl.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, all right, Phil.
You know, Margaret, don't give me this horse manure. You like Steven Tyler? I like Steven Tyler. He's a nice guy. You know, but the facts are the facts. You know, he wasn't there for his daughter. What the hell do you want me to say?
Well, he was very, very busy.
Oh, he was very, very busy. I forgot about that. Had I known he was very, very busy.
When you're sarcastic, you're very unattractive. And I've heard that from other women, too.
Jeez, I'm crushed. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to blow my brains out. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and kill myself. I'm going to lay down on a railroad track someplace. Margaret, that guy, Steven Tyler, great band, great singer, very charming and engaging guy, very charming personality. I think he's a lot of fun. I like to listen to him. And the facts are the facts. The guy was in a, you know, he was in a world of hurt. He was using. He was, I don't know what the hell the guy was doing, but for some reason he wasn't around his daughter when she was a child. And this girl wound up relying on another individual that came into her life as a father figure in the case of Todd Rundgren. Now, that's the facts. That's the story. And, you know, that's the way it goes. And it doesn't mean I think Steven Tyler is a piece of garbage, but I, you know, look at, man, you know, people are what they are. I don't take anything away from a guy's music or the Declaration of Independence or whatever the hell, with the great things they did, but you got to have to face up the facts here. And you know what? It's none of my business.
Yes, that now there you go. It's none of your business. Maybe he has reproached with his daughter.
What?
What did you say?
What did you say?
What did he ask me?
What does reproach mean?
Reproach. Maybe he has mended the bridges, mended the tear.
Yeah, I got back together again and everything.
Yo, okay. Reproach, I ain't heard about that. Sounds like a silly word.
Oh, does it? Well, it's a word that I happen to know that you don't know. So maybe he has reproached. Maybe he has said to her, let bygones be bygones.
I think it takes more than let bygones be bygones. That's all. This is my opinion, you know. And I'm not here to judge anybody, and but I do think it's a great lesson for society in general. I really think that it's necessary for some of these guys to start acting like men and not like mice and take care of your kids. And, you know, Ray Lewis, I got to tell you, you know, I'm glad you're taking care of all those kids, Ray. It was emphasized over the week before the Super Bowl. You have all these kids and you're taking care of them. That's fine. Financially supporting kids is not even close to the whole job, Jack. You have to be there physically for them. You have to be there in their lives. Now, that's just the way it is. And if you're going to start throwing guys' reputations up to me as fathers, I'm going to start commenting on them. I'm going to sit here and I don't mind you telling me about Ray Lewis, the football player, Steven Tyler, musician. Fantastic. I love them both. I love to watch them perform. I think they're both fantastic. Now you want to start talking to me about dads. Oh, and did you know... You know.
Well, I think it's important to bring these things up, but if you're going to tear them down...
If you want to bring up to me Tyler and Davis, or Tyler and Lewis as fathers, then I'm going to tell you what I think of that, and I'd rather you not bring it up, okay? I'm sick and tired of that crap. And that's where that is. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
And please tell us what you think of the Aryan couple on the... Don't forget it.
White people!
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
What are you laughing at?
Well, that North Korea, they showed New York City ruined.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, last hour of the show, and on into a Wednesday now we go with the world-famous Phil Henry Show here at the El Pacifico, and truth is our bitch, and we just are an unrelenting, inexorable force on its way to, you know, to the greater glory of us. I think that's about...
That's pretty much it.
Right. We can't help anybody but ourselves, you know. However, we are here for you. If there's something we can do, don't hesitate to ask. I don't know if we'll answer the phone, but, you know, we got our own problems. All right, so that was pretty clear. What I'm trying to say to you is the following. We've gotten some news here that is disturbing, and so I'm stumbling over myself until... Margaret, do you have that?
Yes, I've got it right here. North Korea has released a video showing New York City in ruins after a missile attack. Now, I will simply say that I think it, and I know that I should not say this as a journalist until all the facts are in, but I feel very confident that New York City is not in ruins.
Absolutely.
Well, again, I'm a journalist. There's no one else in this room that is a really trained journalist. I did put a phone call in.
To where?
To New York City.
Margaret.
Don't Margaret me, Phil. Let's not have an argument over this. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. New York City, according to North Korea, and only North Korea, New York City has been flattened and is a flaming, glowing, radioactive ruin. But that's only according to North Korea. Other sources that I have say that the city is fine. But again, I want to get all my facts in.
Margaret, I'm...
Would you hold... Just don't tell me. I want to get my facts in.
Yeah, but...
Oh, I'll... You see what I'm holding right here?
Where did you get that?
It's a knife, Phil.
Yeah, that's right. It's a knife. You back off.
You know, I think we got to call Frank up, okay?
You call Frank Gray up.
Okay. Margaret, put the knife away. What's wrong?
No one takes me seriously.
Oh, God. Here we go.
No, not here we go. North Korea has released a video showing New York City in ruins.
I'm looking at the video right now.
Well, I'm not looking at the video. I'm going strictly from the news that I'm getting.
All right. Can I just say something?
Yes, go ahead.
It looks like it's like a train set.
Exactly. The New York City in ruins film looks like they've shot it with a train set and maybe the Godzilla set.
Is that right?
Yeah, they done a little. I wouldn't say Godzilla. It's slightly, well,
it's not even as good as Godzilla.
Well, you'll just pardon me if I maintain my credibility as a journalist. I'm waiting for some phone calls. Here's a call right now. Hold on for a minute. Is this Frank? I'm waiting for a call from my husband, Frank Ray. Frank, it's Margaret.
Okay.
What do you know? This is Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, my husband. What do you know, and when did you find it out?
All right. I called Bill Pulverton, and, you know, Bill Pulverton is a friend of ours in New York. She's an attorney, a major attorney. She told me that she's having dinner, in fact, stopped at Stage Door Deli, and she's having that big pile, that stacked high Reuben, you know, the one that I love with all the cheese, and it's a stacked stack, and she's having that, and her husband, excuse me, her wife is having a, I think her wife is having a knockwurst. That's what she told me.
But you just told me what two people are having for dinner, Frank.
I'm telling you, if you listen to me, Margaret, that I talked to an attorney, and she and her wife are having dinner on Broadway in New York. I don't think the GD... I don't think the GD...
Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
I know who it is. I gotta talk to him, okay? Let me talk to my wife. I talked to Bill Pulverton and her wife, and she told me that New York City is still standing.
What did Bill's wife say?
Bill, he told me the same thing. He said that that her husband is... No, he told me the same thing. He said that his husband was telling the truth, that she was right when she said New York is still standing.
All right, that's one... That's... Well, one, two. That's two people. That's not... Really, I wouldn't say we've got the story nailed down.
You're an idiot.
You called your wife...
Yes, exactly. You're an idiot. Now, I've made as many calls as I'm going to make. I don't know who else I'm supposed to call.
Call up Greg Gutfield at Red Eye, please.
Oh, for God.
I'm sorry, Frank. Call up Greg Gutfield at Red Eye.
Greg Gutfield is on the air. I'm looking at her right now. She's on the air right now.
That's a tape, Frank.
Bingo, it's a tape.
Thanks a lot, Henry.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, you big fat mouth. Oh, hey, Phil Hendry knows when it's a tape. Let's listen to her about these things. Okay, fine. I'll call up Gutfield. What do you want me to ask her?
Frank, don't be a bitter ass. I'm trying to nail the story down.
Nail the story down.
All right, Frank, look, just call up Gutfield.
Yeah, all right. I'll call up Gutfield, and I'll ask her what.
Is New York burning? Remember what Hitler said about Paris?
Oh, God. God.
God, he is very emotional. I don't know what's going on. I know that they're, you know, men go through a change of life, too.
Margaret, you've got to be kidding. You know, New York City is not burning. New York City is fine. New York City is going to be fine.
Phil, that may very well be. I started out this report by saying it is very, very likely that New York is still standing, but I want to nail the story down. I'm not going to make the mistake that a great many of these other, okay, news organizations. Oh.
Well, you're pounding your fingers into that desk. No wonder they hurt.
Oh!
You want some ice?
Yes.
What are you pounding your fingers in there for?
That's what he said. New York City is still standing. That's what you want me to say, but I won't say it until...
All right. Well, thank you, Margaret. You stay on top of that, huh?
Yeah, Margaret. Why don't you get your legs right around it?
You dirty...
Ow!
Well, you shouldn't have said that.
God, Robert, what are you crying for?
He slapped me.
That's right. I'll give it to you again. You ever say anything like that?
I'm only kidding.
Slapped him in the face.
That's right.
Want some ice?
Mm-hmm.
You want some, you can have those fruity pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you guys go in the kitchen and get some fruity pebbles or whatever?
You want some fruity pebbles, Robert?
Yeah. No. I want the Fruit Loops.
Okay. You can have the Fruit Loops. I don't even like Fruit Loops.
Okay.
Your crew, your whole show is a real...
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You keep your mind on your business. I'll keep my mind on mine, all right?
Your crew, they're in there eating fruity pebbles.
Yeah, but you just belted him across the face.
I slapped him a little bit, big baby.
All right, I admit that what he said was wrong, you know, wrap your legs around the story, but the fact is, Margaret, you're a little goofy here. North Korea with a videotape of New York in ruins, and you're sitting here wanting to nail the story down. It's unbelievable.
Given the history of misreporting in this country...
I know about the history of misreporting in this country. You're absolutely right. They go too soon with a story. They oftentimes don't fill in all the facts. They've got more people confused than ever before after they report a story. I get that. But I think we can safely assume that New York's not in ruins when I'm staring at a feed from New York with a TV show on it.
That could be relayed from a... You don't get it about broadcasting. Don't you know these signals come from other places like New Jersey?
Do you think New York's in ruins?
I'm waiting on one more phone call. I don't care. You can say anything you want. You can laugh at me. You can go, ah, ah, ah. You can do anything you want. I don't care.
All right. Good job, Margaret. Stay with it.
And your sarcasm.
I'm not being sarcastic. I admire you. Stay with it. I don't know. But there comes a time when people are going to start laughing and you're going to say, oh, how dare you laugh? And you got to just say, wait a minute, they have a right to laugh because this is really silly.
Well, I don't know about you, but I want to make sure of the story until I say otherwise.
Fine. What we're talking about is a videotape that the North Korean government released showing New York in ruins. Obviously, it was meant for the consumption of their own people in North Korea because it... And you know what's interesting about North Korea, man? Yes, communism, Marxist, Leninism, Maoism, and all the other subgenres of Karl Marx and Frederick Engels and their thoughts on collective labor and government and everything. It all proved to be a big fat bust. It was unworkable, undoable. It was not what the worker aspires to. They misread, they misinterpreted, they couldn't, and that's one of the things about totalitarian governments, one of the things about bad government. They don't know how to read people. It always is a misinterpretation of the needs and the wants of people. Fascism was that way, communism was that way. And now we come to the very end of the road, the bitter end, man, and you got the Chinese who sort of turned everything into a capitalist system with a totalitarian control model, almost as if it's a kind of a fascist model as opposed to a communist model, because they've got private enterprise in China. They have, competitive wages and so forth. They have competitive corporate entities, But they have this, you know, Politburo communist-style control. Well, I mean, in everybody else's or anybody else's book, that's kind of a, you know, a communist or, excuse me, a fascist government that tolerates free enterprise and yet controls from the top all of it. Then you have, at the very bitter end, North Korea. And, I mean, nothing could be more embarrassing than that country. That, you know, if it's like, just give it up, man. It don't work, Jack. Like, it's really good for a handful of guys, and then everybody else is digging in the dirt for potatoes and, you know, gnawing on roots, and then they shoot a missile off, and then they come out with a Godzilla-style video of New York burning, and it's actually like a plastic toy town that somebody sprayed lighter fluid on and lit, you know, in a garage somewhere. I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. Give it up, quit, stop, forget it. The East Germans could do it, you can do it, North Korea. Just you know... Throw down the fences and come on in for the big win, baby. Let's have a party, you know? If they put those two little countries together, I mean, they would have themselves one big fat fizzies party. That's what they ought to have instead of this jive ass. All right, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More from the news, more news from our backstage pass world and so on and so forth. We had some people complaining about the video cast. The feed was down. I think it's back up. Then it was down. Then it's back up. I think it's back up. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry
Truth.
Show.
He's our
well,
bitch.
That's reliable.
The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Bob Bacon. Is over New York. Hi, welcome back, folks. Bobby there.
That's all. Bob Bacon here. Over New York City right now, here for the Phil Hendry Show, and we're ready to report when you're ready to report. Bob Bacon here reporting coming through.
All right, listen, before we get to you, Bob, I just want to tell people, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob Bacon is over New York City right now, over Manhattan.
I'm telling you now, this side of the Brooklyn Bridge and the side of New York City, and we're going to try to swing out over the Hudson River and take a look at the Jersey side. We're going to be reporting here very shortly, Bob Bacon.
All right, Bob, and I also understand that you need to have that music playing in order for you to not just do reports, but you need to have that music playing in order for you to do everything. Isn't that right?
Rogerville is Bob Bacon. I have to have that music. It's because I've been a newsman on time. I'm not just a newsman. I'm the helicopter. And when you're a newsman in a helicopter, you got to have that music. You got to have helicopter sounds on that music, too.
Isn't it true also, Bob?
Well, come on, Phil. Don't come off like a Perry Mason or something. Give me a grill job here like it's L.A. Law, huh? What do you think of L.A. Law? Now there's Law and Order. It's Bob Bacon News.
Well, I'm not grilling you. Isn't it true that you have to have that music playing even when you're having sex with your wife?
That is true. It's Bob Bacon. We had our son. I had two daughters and a son. Both of them. We had two daughters and a son, and both of them...
What do you mean, both of them?
The two daughters and the son. Both of them were conceived as I was listening to this, and I had it piping through the hotel room we were at the time in New Jersey at Atlantic City. And Bob Bacon News.
Both of them to...
Phil, let it go, will you? You're talking to a madman.
Well, that's true.
Well, Bob, thank you very much, Mark. Call me madman. I'm taking a look at something like you, and you're talking all about New York is burning.
Well, is New York burning? You're flying over New York right now.
It's Bob Bacon over New York City right now, so I'm trying to get a look here. Looking right down the Hudson River and turn around and go see the East River over there. Take a look at that beautiful George Washington Bridge. Bob Bacon, SCS Celebrity Show News.
Yeah, okay, great. Is New York still standing? Just give us the...
All right, Phil, here's Bob Bacon. I'm going to swing down Broadway here. And
I don't care where you are, and I don't care what you're seeing.
I don't like Broadway, though.
And that's fine, the lights of Broadway. Just tell me whether New York City is standing. Is New York there?
Bob, this is Margaret. I want to know before I button this story up.
Before she buttons it up.
I'll tell you something, Phil. Talk about buttoning things up. Tell Bud Dickman he needs to button that up. Bob Bacon, Bud Dickman, you button it up. Bob Bacon News.
What's that mean?
Bob, what are you doing, Bob? Jokes?
I'm talking about Bud Dickman needs to button it up. Bob Bacon.
Okay, that's fine. That's good morning show material. All I want to know is New York City still there?
Well, sir, I can tell you right now, it's about to see it. Okay.
The music, Bud.
Oh, God, sorry.
Bob Bacon, oh, thank God. I've got to have music. Bob Bacon needed music. Bob Bacon don't have no music. Bob Bacon, but bad big. Bob Bacon starts to do bad big. Best Bob Bacon Show over New York City right now.
Where were you, Bob? What was that about?
I don't know. I just couldn't hear the music. Bob Bacon over New York City right now, Phil. It looks to me like that's a city. And what constitutes a city, though, is the big question here. Bob Bacon, we'll be back in just a moment with Bob Bacon News.
Is he gone?
Yeah, I think so. You hear him?
Don't give me this smart-ass answer. What did he do?
Well, that's in the report. He said he's gonna report back another 5 minutes. Bob Bacon on a what is it?
He said it. Bob Bacon on the fives.
What is that supposed to mean? Bob Bacon on the fives.
That means he only reports when there's a five in the time.
All right, so he's due up here in 1 minute, and then after that, it won't be till 35.
Yeah.
And then after that, 45.
I think so.
That's good. Good, Mr. Henry. You're doing well.
Smart-ass stuff. You understand? Get that guy back on right now on the fives. Get him back on the air. Get him on the air, bud.
Try it. Oh, thank God.
Hey, Bob.
Bob Bacon. I'm supposed to be a Bob Bacon on the fives, Phil. I don't know what...
I don't give a crap on the fives. You're on right now, okay?
Do it, KFWB. They do it on the ones. I want to do it on fives.
Well, you're not going to do it on the fives. I don't care what KFWB does. On the ones.
That's when they do their traffic.
Yeah, they do it on the ones. Sounds real good. There's Bob Bacon here. We'll do it on the fives.
Let me tell you a little secret here, bud, okay? Before I get pissed.
But I didn't do it.
No. I know. You tell that guy that if I don't get him when I want him, I'm going to shoot that helicopter out of the sky. I'm going to do what they did to the one guy. You remember the guy that I knew? And I don't want to go into it.
Oh, yeah.
That
guy, huh? So, the guy that worked with Skippy and Frank, and they,
They got a bazooka.
Oh, those, yeah, the RPG, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So, I'm telling you to tell him to tell you, you know...
To tell you that you want him back on the air, or you'll blow his ass out of the sky. Is that what you want to say?
Yes, that's what I want to say. That's what I want to say. Okay?
Got it. Okay, let's see, Bacon, B-A...
Don't do it now. You can do it when we go into the break, okay? And by the way, why don't you have that on an iPhone or something? What do you got this little old-fashioned... Let me see this thing.
Hey, that's my little black book. Give me that.
Look at this. Charlie Chan, Shirley Chong.
It's Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, I know.
That's my little book.
All right, take your little book. Put that stuff into a computer or something, okay? That little book, it's got... Ooh, God, what is that?
Coffee.
Coffee never looked like that.
Yeah, it's coffee mixed with something else.
In any event, just get Bacon back on the line.
I gotta call him.
What is this that I gotta call him? Don't we have a dedicated line where you can... Is that it?
That's him calling. Hello? Yeah, Bob, what happened to you, man? Because we got to have you on the line. Okay, you call back in 10 seconds. Good. Yeah. Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Third base side. No, because...
You get out of here with that. What are you doing?
I got him tickets.
All right, so what was that?
That's my cell phone. It rings when I know it's Bacon.
All right, so Bob Bacon's going to be up with us here in about, I don't know.
Hold on. Hello? Yeah. Can you go with him after the break?
I guess I'm going to have to, okay?
Yeah, I got to go after the break, Bob. Bye.
All right, we'll have Bob Bacon on after the break, and then at that time...
Hello? Yeah, after the break. Right. Bye. Sorry.
So Bob Bacon will be on with us after the break.
Hello? Yeah, third base. Give me that.
Bob, don't call again. Thank you. Goodbye. That's how you talk to him. We're going to be back in... Hello. Yeah, you too. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Bob Bacon News.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Here we are, the final half hour of the program. We'd like to thank Bob Bakian for letting us know that New York City is still there. How do you feel about that, Margaret Gray?
Well, I'm very, very grateful. I don't appreciate being made a spectacle of. I think, Phil, now hold on. Just reserve your comment.
Okay.
I believe that what I would like to see ye, if I may just take some time.
Go ahead.
Great.
Thank you, bud.
You're welcome.
Robert?
Yeah?
I'd like to see my efforts as a professional journalist. Now, you know that I'm a professional journalist. You've known this. You've known this for years, Phil. Why would you mock it?
I'm not mocking anything.
You're not mocking anything.
No, I'm not.
Well, you... Correct me if I'm wrong. A moment ago, you were saying, Margaret, New York City's still there. And what are you doing? Weren't you saying that?
Not only was I saying it, but your husband, Frank...
Let's leave my husband out of this. Don't bring my personal life into this, please.
I'm not bringing your personal life into this, Margaret. But Frank was on our airwaves, okay?
I'm asking you not to bring my husband, Frank, into it.
Okay, fine. My opinion is that while you are an exceptional journalist, I believe it was unnecessary for us to drag out to the extent that we did.
Drag out?
Allow me to finish. You wanted me to let you finish. Yes, drag out whether or not New York exists.
Well, I don't think I used the word exists. I said, is New York cooking or burning? And that was the classic question asked by Adolf Hitler of Paris.
Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? What a great quote to resurrect. Is Paris burning? Is New York burning? And
well, I wanted it to be something that stuck.
And all you want to do...
Go rot.
Yeah, okay. You want it to be something that stuck. So she quotes Hitler. Beautiful, baby, beautiful. Unbelievable, man.
You want to talk about Bakian?
I beg your pardon?
You want to talk about Bakian?
What did he say?
You want to talk to Bob Bakian?
Yeah, is Bob Bakian there?
Yeah, Bob Bakian, hold on for me. I'm expecting a phone call. Hello?
Will you get out of here with that?
Sorry.
Is he there or not?
Yeah, here's Bob Bakian.
Hey, Phil Henry and everybody out here. Bob Bakian here over New York City by Mountville. And we're going to take a look at New York City as the Koreans try to launch a missile attack and burn everything to the ground, make it all crispy critter. But the North Koreans, no way, man. Those bull haircuts couldn't get anywhere near. Hello?
Yeah, right here, Bob. So New York is doing fine, huh?
Right down, take a look at New York, Phil. Let me tell you something. The people in New York are the hardiest people you've ever seen. Hardy, sturdy people, and they're walking down the street, man. Everybody having a good time. There ain't a Korean coming down here, man. Any Korean come near here, no more. No more for that Korean. Uh-uh. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No more pickled cabbage, nothing. No bull haircut here in New York.
All right, now, Bob, I know that you invented shorthand. I don't think we need it for this report.
Well, I'm just trying to give you the whole thing about bull.
Yeah, that's fine. And let's knock off the bull haircuts and the pickled cabbage and all of that. I just want to know, is New York still there?
Is New York still here? There's Bob Bakian out here, and it's looking real good.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob. Great to talk to you.
I'm only kidding. New York's burned to the ground. I'm kidding about that. New York's doing fine, Phil. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, he said he was going to do some shtick because there wasn't anything to report.
Okay, Bob, I hope you heard that. I'm laughing. That was really funny, Bob.
What are you laughing at, man?
He's doing shtick. New York's burned to the ground. Oh, I'm only kidding. No, it isn't. Yes, I am. No, I aren't.
Well, you didn't say no, I aren't.
Yeah, he didn't talk like that.
Okay. No, I'm not.
That's the way Bob talks.
Isn't that? Bob Bakian is mentally disturbed, and you're sitting here and you're finding fault with the way I quote him.
Why do you say mentally disturbed? I'm fascinated by that.
Well, a guy can't have no... Well...
Don't you say it. I'll say it. You don't think he's crazy?
I think I've seen crazier people. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that the guy can't have any... He can't have sex with his wife. He can't walk around. He can't do anything unless he has his eyewitness music theme.
I think that that's neurotic. I draw the line at mad. I draw the line at insanity. Neurotic, yes. Obsessive, yes. Idiosyncratic, yes. A character, yes.
Crazy.
Yes. But no, not crazy. Just idiosyncratic. Idiosyncratic. What does that mean, but idiosyncratic?
Means a person's an idiot?
No.
No. A person being an idiot would be an idiot. What is idiosyncratic?
That they're cracked. They're an idiot and they're cracked.
Where do you find these people?
Wait a minute. Don't look at me. You're asking him a question. You know, he doesn't know the answer to that. And you knew he didn't know the answer to that.
You knew he didn't know the answer.
Mark, I'll tell you what, you don't have to sit with us. I'm so stupid, and he's weird, and he's weird. Why don't you go in the kitchen, have yourself another one of those, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking some tea, chamomile tea.
All right. Do you want to go and do that?
No.
You want to stay here?
Yes.
All right, folks. We are...
Hello? Yeah, he's getting pissed. What? Okay. Bob says you got a report.
We'll put him up.
Okay, go.
Bob Behnken here. This is Bob Behnken here. I've got a report here now. Bob Behnken News. Reporting here from the Bob Behnken helicopter, the Phil Henry website. There's Bob Behnken. And over to New York City. And a Korean. And the Korean legation right now is on a going home. Got in the car. I saw them get a parking ticket. And he left. Actually, the glint off his buck teeth. And he wiped himself with it and threw it in the street. Bob Behnken reporting.
Wait, Bob.
Yeah, Phil.
What was the report?
I just said to you that I saw at the Korean legation, the Korean coming out there, and they would wipe themselves with a parking ticket.
First of all, North Korea has no relations with the United States.
You could have fooled me. I swear to God, I saw Bull Haircut. Well, you know what I'm saying? I saw Mr. Spock haircut coming out of there. And
all right, Bull Haircut, Mr. Spock, same thing.
All right, well, I saw a guy in a gray suit, and I could see the light glinting off of his teeth. And
the light glinting off of his teeth. Will you turn that off, please?
I can't talk. You make the I can't do the thing.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks a lot.
I prepared the report.
Oh, get out of here. Prepared the report. He's telling me that he saw somebody from the Korean legation get a parking ticket and wipe himself with it.
I think that's pretty significant. You know that they're giving tickets to the diplomats, and that really should not be. They have diplomatic immunity. Immunity. Hold on. I'm so sorry. I held in three of them. You're not going to yell?
No. Why would I yell? What good is it going to do? You know, you did what you did.
Here, you had to do what you had to do.
And you're not yelling?
No, I'm not yelling. What's the matter? Were you looking for me to get pissed?
Sort of.
You're more childish than them, you know that?
No, Phil. Hold.
No, you are. You're more childish than them. You belch, and then you wait for the reaction, and you don't get it, and you're all, ooh.
Okay, Daddy, I'm sorry. Do I have to go to my bed now, and I lay down and wait for you to come in and molest me? I swear to God.
That was uncalled for. Get out of here.
You don't.
Get out of here, Margaret.
You'll hear from my attorney, and he happens to be my husband.
Good. I hope I do. Sooner rather than later.
You fire?
Maybe. Are you going to come in and molest me?
I was joking. Why is it you guys can make those jokes, but I can't?
We don't make jokes like that.
Well,
stay out of here. No, you are not allowed back in here tonight. Sorry. If PETA slams Beyoncé for her Super Bowl 2013 performance, some animals must have been violated. Yep, that's what they're saying around town. Yes, PETA slammed Beyoncé for her Super Bowl 2013 performance, so there must have been an animal violation somewhere. We've got to know. The activist group is in an uproar, no pun intended, over her costume choice during Sunday's halftime show performance, which featured a combination of the skin of two different reptiles. Now, she was wearing something that was, it was part iguana and part python on February the 5th. The singer's black bodysuit was made from python and iguana skin and leather. That got the attention of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. The spokesman said that the outfit worn by the singer, we would take a bet that if Beyoncé watched our video expose, she'd probably not want to be seen again in anything made of snakes, lizards, rabbits, or any other animals who died painfully. Today's fashions are trending toward humane vegan options, and Beyoncé's Super Bowl outfit missed the mark on that score. Beyonce's Super Bowl 2013 halftime show has been receiving plenty of comments across the board following a racy musical act which also featured a reunion involving her own, her former Destiny's Child group members. Some have criticized the singer for her choice of outfit, saying it was way too skimpy and sexy, blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's a hell of a fine and how do you do?
I thought I told you to get out of here.
Well, I decided that I was going to ignore that.
What do you mean a fine how do you do?
What do you mean blah, 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 blah?
Because it's blah, 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 blah. Let me ask you a question. Everybody out there, you can ask yourself this. We can say what we want about PETA. We can say they're a pain in the ass. I personally think they are. We can say that they seems to be a vibe in that organization that's really, they just don't like people. I can't help but feel that. I know a lot of people feel that way. It's not a unique thought, but you do get the sense they've got a real hatred for human beings. Maybe that's a strong word. But I want to ask you something. Have any of us together or separately, have we ever influenced our behavior differently? Have we ever changed our behavior? Has anything that PETA has ever said or done made you do anything differently with your life as it pertains to animals?
Well, I certainly do not wear furs. I do not wear iguana skin.
You don't know about iguana skin until the lady said it just then.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know about iguana skin until the lady... Hold on.
Hello?
No.
Get off the phone with Bacon. Give me that. Bob, don't call again. Thank you. Goodbye.
I think, Phil, that if we're to be honest with ourselves, we say that we are...
Give it. Bob?
No, you give it to me. Bob, it's Margaret. Hi. I'll put a high heel through your eyeball. That's right, Bob. The heel of my... Yes. Through your eyeball so it impales your brain. If you call again. Yes. If you call again. Yes. I don't care if it kills you. I hope it doesn't and simply affects your ability, your motor skills for the rest of your life and blinds you in that eyeball. Get lost, Bob.
Wow.
Yeah.
Get lost. Here, hang it up.
Yes, ma'am.
What'd he say?
What do you think? Now, do we have to break again?
I think we do. Dan, we have to break, yeah. All right, we're...
You know what? I swear to God, Phil, if I saw your car slide under a burning gasoline tanker on the freeway, I'd get out and take a picture.
Oh, man! Wow!
I'm sorry.
Woo! We'll be right back. The world famous... I'm sorry, but I gotta take a break. You gonna blame me?
Yes, I'm blaming you.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our
Hi,
bitch.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah,
the Phil Henry Show.
Hello? Oh, wait.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Teen gives judge the finger, receives a $10,000 fine and a 30-day jail sentence. Check it out, baby. You can see the reaction of this young man as he is given the $10,000 fine. He's on the right-hand side there if you're looking at Phil TV in that little tiny picture. I apologize, folks, but there's this little picture of him, and he's like, who, me? Yes, you, Jack. A teen gave a judge the finger, according to a report from today at the Microsoft Network. A Florida teen was given a 30-day sentence yesterday after giving a judge the finger in court. The article says 18-year-old Penelope Soto, who was arrested for drug possession, learned yesterday not to give the judge any lip. The irresponsible and seemingly clueless teen irritated the judge with her insouciant attitude.
What's that mean?
Margaret?
Don't look at me. I don't know.
She irritated the judge with her insouciant attitude, maybe just flip and...
I would say brat-like, yes.
Okay. In court on Monday by flipping her hair, laughing derisively, and dodging questions. Annoyed, the judge gave Soto a $5,000 fine and bid her bye-bye. So she's giving this, flip answer. What was she in court for? She was in for drug possession. The kid's 18. She's in court for drug possession. Now she is playing it like she's sort of a revolutionary. You know, she's a member of the militant underground, and she's going to be really rude, and that's what she was doing, flipping her hair, blah, blah, blah. So the judge went, okay, bang, $5,000 fine, and good night. Now, you got to pay the money. Generally, it's like a $5,000 fine, or if you haven't got the bread, you got to spend some time in jail, or maybe there's a promise. I don't know how they do it. She was still, however, clueless, this young lady, Penelope Soto, and still clueless and clearly classless, writes the author, laughed and responded, adios, so that Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Jorge Rodriguez-Chaumont upped her fine to $10,000. So she's being rude in the courtroom. She responded, are you serious? I am serious. Adios, said the judge. Now, one would think that Soto would have the common sense to shut her mouth at that point. However, this teenager promptly gave Judge Rodriguez-Chaumont the finger. In return, the judge found her in contempt of court and sentenced her to 30 days in jail. Maybe she will think twice before she flips off anyone else, especially a judge. Now,
I don't understand that.
You gotta be, you must conduct yourself with decorum in a courtroom. And a judge, judges can, you know, they rule the roost in there. Judges can tell the lawyers that they're not dressed properly. Judges can tell people, you know, don't chew gum. Judges can say, take off the glasses. You have to treat the courtroom with respect. You have to treat the courtroom with respect. And it's almost like you're in church and the judge is the guy. You don't piss the judge off. Don't ever piss the judge off. Weren't you watching that, what were we watching, Margaret?
Oh, the Casey Anthony trial where that one woman, she was a real redneck treat. I don't know if you saw it, Bud and Robert and the folks at home. This woman was a big fat tub of guts in a moo-moo. She had a face on her. She was missing teeth because everything was sucked in. Looked like she was sucking on either a lemon or a quart of buttermilk.
All right, Margaret, I mean, we don't have to go into a big, long, you know.
I'm giving some detail. So now this thing yells out, you killed your daughter or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, she yelled out. And this was during jury selection.
Exactly. She yelled out. I know what she did. It was during jury selection. She yelled out, you did it. You killed your daughter. And the judge, Judge Barry, I forget his name now.
What was the judge? Belvin Perry.
Belvin Perry. He called her up in front of everyone and he said, do you realize what you've done? And by now, she is crying because she knows that this Judge Perry...
You didn't screw around. You could tell that guy was in charge of things from the beginning.
Yes, and she started to cry because she knew that she was in big trouble. And Judge Perry said, do you know what you've done? This has been jury selection. You have tainted a great many individuals that are still waiting to be heard and so on and so forth. Well, she's crying, and she told the judge, I'm sorry, Your Honor. He asked, are you on medication?
Yes, and she said she was, right?
Yes, and I think that's what saved her. And the judge said, I want you to get out while the getting's good. Go home, take your pills. I don't ever want to look at your trash face again.
He didn't.
Well, he was thinking that.
Well, he didn't say that, but yeah.
He was thinking that, and I would have. Had I been the judge, I would have said, you get your toothless, ugly, big bird face and the big fat ass and drag it, haul it, rope it, truck it. I don't care how you get it out of here, but get it out, you will. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that'll be some fine. I don't know what I would have done.
Well, the woman, you know, the judge sized it up. Maybe that's why we're not judges, Margaret, because he sized it up. He realized that he asked her, were you on medication? Somehow he knew it. She said, yes, I am. He asked her what kind. She hadn't taken her medicine. I think he gave her 48 hours, though.
He did. He gave her jail.
Yes, he did. So Judge Perry gave her a break because he said to her, I could give you 10 days right now for what you've done. And ordinarily, I would give you 10 days for yelling out in court the way you have. But because you're on medication, because it's been a tough day, because this, that, I'm going to give you 48 hours in the county jail here. And she's bawling like a baby. But by that point, the judge had her convinced that she'd gotten a break.
Yes, she was thanking him.
She thanked Judge Perry. Oh, thank you, Judge, for only giving me 2 days in jail. All right, so there it is, folks. That's the damage done tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is brought to you by, well, all the people that brought it to you, and, of course, produced by myself and our fine friend Dan Northcraft. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. philhenryshow.com is the place to go for a backstage pass, which gives you access to some of the most fantastic and fantastical audio you've ever heard in your life. It's the Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass. Till tonight at 10 o'clock Pacific, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.